Good morning, everybody. Hey, my name is Shane. My wife and I are the pastors here, and we are so excited about this series we just started. It is, go ahead and throw it up there, called New Creation, and last week I kind of outlined the where we're going to be headed, and my first point last week is my sermon today, and so before we get into that, I want to read a passage. Today's going to be a little unique, so those people that really like science and just sort of want to geek out a little bit, I'm looking over here at Ty. Ty, ladies and gentlemen, he does all of our slides every single week. Come on, can we just thank him real quick? But every time I do a sermon like this or I add like Greek and Hebrew and stuff, he's just like, yes, give me more. So this one's for you, Ty. Okay, but this is going to be a sermon where we're going to talk a little bit about God as our creator, because you can't understand you as a person, as a new creation, who God created you to be without understanding God as the creator. And so we're going to dive into that a little bit. We're going to start in Isaiah chapter 40. And this is such an incredible passage of scripture. Isaiah 40 verse 21 says this: "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He, God Almighty, sits enthroned above the circle of the earth." Come on, let's just take that in for a moment. You're going to understand what that looks like later on. "He stretches out the heavens like a canopy. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." God, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word and the opportunities that we have, Jesus, to come sit at your feet and hear you speak. And so, God, I pray in the next few moments, truly, that it would be your voice and not mine. Lord, that we would have our eyes opened to the dimensions in the spirit that will help us understand who you are and who you've created us to be. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So the title of my message is "The One Who Created You Gets to Define You." The one who created you gets to define you. And so that's kind of where we're going today. And so, like I said, before we get there, we're going to talk a little bit about creation. So I don't know if you've ever heard of the Hubble telescope, but the Hubble telescope is like a satellite that floats above the earth, like about 1,000 or I think it's like 100 miles up. But anyways, floats above the earth. Just think of like a satellite, but it's this giant, giant telescope. So like the really cool, if you ever Google image anything in the universe, typically those pictures are coming from the Hubble telescope. It is absolutely breathtaking and amazing. And there are things that you and I could never see or take a picture with the most powerful, telescopes. I don't know if you ever got one of those little telescopes for like your child or something, and you're like trying to look and see, and you're like, I don't know, this doesn't really compare with like Google image, you know? It's the Hubble telescope giving you those amazing images. And so we kind of get even just barely a glimpse of God's creation because of the Hubble telescope. So we live in a little subdivision. I'm just going to give you some highlights. We live in a little subdivision of the universe called the Milky Way. And this is a picture of the Milky Way. Now, the Milky Way is massive, and so our solar system is one tiny, tiny, tiny solar system amongst many in the Milky Way. So I want to talk a little bit about the vastness of our world and our universe, because it will help you, number one, feel really small. And hopefully it will give you a different perspective about our God. So the Milky Way galaxy, our entire solar system, which revolves around the sun, and I won't get into that because I don't want to pretend like you don't know at least something about our solar system. So our solar system, in comparison to Milky Way, would be like a quarter in size compared to all of North America. North America being the Milky Way, and our entire solar system being a quarter. So give you a little bit of breadth of this one galaxy amongst millions in the universe. It's so big that we have to use a thing called a light year to get around in the universe, in this solar system. So really quickly, a light year, and I put it up there, a light year is 5.88 trillion miles in a year. So that's a measuring stick. The universe is so big that a foot and a yard and a mile and a kilometer, they don't work in the universe. We need something different that can measure things accurately, and we call it a light year. And a light year is, if you were to travel 5.88 trillion miles in 1 year, then you've gone a light year. That's a really, really long way away. So, okay, so back to the Milky Way. The Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years across. So let me just break that down for you. If you travel 5.8 trillion miles a year, you'll get there in 100,000 years. So our subdivision's really small, and the Milky Way galaxy is really massive. I know, you guys are like, incredible. How many of y'all already knew all this? A few of you. Okay. Qua? No? Nope? Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about numbers, because for me, I'm not a numbers guy. So when you say like million, billion, trillion, I just go a lot. Well, nowadays a million's not that much. Billion, like, okay, we're getting, and then trillion, I'm like, I don't know. It sounds like a billion, but just a little bit more. Okay. So let me talk to you about how big a million is. So if we're talking about seconds, a million seconds ago was 12 days ago. It's a million. 12 days ago, a million seconds. Okay, a billion seconds ago. 1985. So a million to a billion, 12 days versus 1985. That's a lot more. So a billion's a lot, but we're in trillion land. A light year is trillions. What's trillion compared to a billion? So you're thinking like maybe Christopher Columbus, maybe like, I don't know, 1800s. So 1985 is a billion. A trillion is 29,700 years before Christ. 12 days ago, 1985, 29,800 years before Christ is a trillion seconds ago. So a trillion's a really big number, I guess is my point. Because you're like, hey, Pastor, you're so cool. Okay, so moving on to the next galaxy that I want to highlight is the Whirlpool Galaxy. So this is the Whirlpool Galaxy, and it is a star-creating machine. You know what? Every second, a star is born. Every second. A new star is birthed out of this behemoth. So the Whirlpool Galaxy is called the darling of astronomy. It's just an incredible thing. We're only able to see this because of the Hubble telescope. And again, just to show you how vast our universe is, the Whirlpool Galaxy is 31 million light years away. 31 million light years away. The Milky Way Galaxy is only 100,000 light years across. This is 31 million light years away. So to put that in perspective, if you want to travel the Whirlpool Galaxy, you need to travel 186,000 miles a second for 31 million years. And then you'll reach it. It's a long way away. So isn't this incredible? And, you know, it's interesting because as I've been doing research, and, you know, all of us kind of understand that there's this whole idea of like other life forms out there, right? Is there aliens, and are there other planets that are habitable, and are there other people groups? And I'm not standing up here with the answer to that. There's nothing biblically that refers to that. But what I will say is, you know, scientists are kind of stumped because of how big our universe is. And one of the reasons, and one of the kind of the non-biblical reasonings of why they're scratching their head and they're so desperate to find more life out there, is because in their view, if the universe is for us to live in, then it's kind of oversized. I mean, a quarter in the entire North America is our entire solar system, and that's just our galaxy, not to mention this one amongst way. I mean, the vastness, and we read this scripture that says that God not only created it, but he called every star. Billions and billions and trillions of stars, he called them by name and personally placed them. And so scientists, especially ones that don't believe in Christ, they're like, why? It doesn't make any sense that it's so big. And then here's a little bitty Earth with a few people on it. But if you shift the narrative a little bit, I don't know, maybe the universe and the vastness of the universe is about God's greatness. It's about his glory. And listen, I know that we can so often put ourselves in the narrative and make it about us. We just sang, right, worthy of it all. And I'll tell you what, the universe and the vastness, really the story is about God. And so I'm totally okay if we're the only planet in the universe. Because if it's about him, I don't think it's oversized. I think it's just about the right size. To declare the glory and the splendor of our God. Okay, so you got the picture. You got this picture of this amazing universe. So I want to give you three ideas that really drive into this identity of the one who created us with this kind of thing in mind. The one who created us gets to define us. Okay, so the first idea is this. We need something outside of ourselves to tell us who we are. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3 and 4 says this, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." When you think about the vastness of what we're talking about, who am I? Because I all of a sudden feel really, really small. And I think that David, the writer of the Psalms, felt the same way. See, you and I, we don't have the capacity or the ability to tell ourselves who we are. And there's a bit, it's a big narrative right now out there of like, you know, find yourself and go on your own journey and, you know, read some books and go on a walk and do a Sabbath and, you know, do all these things to figure out who you are. And I'm not saying contemplation is wrong or bad, but here's what I'm saying. You and I, we were created in a way by God. You don't have the capacity within yourself to find you. It's not there. Can't do it. You will always look to something else. And we see this in the garden. So picture it. God creates the heavens, pretty big. And then he puts Adam and Eve in this beautiful garden. Imagine how beautiful it was because it was perfect. And the Bible says that he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden every day. Now, no sin. And they have a perfect relationship with him. But we also know by David that David says that how wonderful are your thoughts towards me, O God. If I were to count them, they would be more than the number of sands on all the seas in the whole world. Every sand, a thought, a positive, good, wonderful thought towards you. So you take that in context and you go into the garden with Adam and Eve, walking with God. Can you imagine the message they were getting? Man, how cool are you? I love you so much. You're amazing. Man, let's go hang out. You ever hang out with your best friend or your spouse and you're in a good spot and life is just really good and you're bantering back and forth and it's like, it's just positive, isn't it? It just like feels good. Well, that's nothing compared to the message that Adam and Eve were receiving. And then, unfortunately, when sin entered the world, because the chatterbox was there and he was lying to them and they sinned, sin created a barrier. And what it says about Adam and Eve that's so profound for you and me, because insecurity entered for the very first time, right there. And a barrier was created. And it was like, think of it like a really thick, soundproof glass wall. And so in 1 second, they went from millions and millions, with however much they could handle of the goodness of God and the love of God. And his message to them was so clear and unhindered. And in 1 second, it was completely silent. You ever put noise-canceling headphones on? You're like on a plane and you have like that crying baby and you're trying to like be really nice and give thumbs up, but inside you're like, I'm gonna like implode inside. This is so frustrating. And you put those noise-canceling headphones on and all of a sudden just silent. That's what Adam and Eve had. And so they went from a place where they knew exactly who they were. Not because they just knew, but because God was telling them who they are. Listen, I created the universe specifically and uniquely. I placed every single star. You don't think I placed you here? I know exactly who you are, and I'm going to tell you who you are. Every time I'm not holding back. I'm just going for it. And then in that moment, because of sin, it blocked that message to them. And you know what the Bible says? They were naked and ashamed. Just like that. They went from fully confident, fully alive, no insecurity. They didn't even know they were naked. They were walking around the garden because that was just normal. And all of a sudden, that voice of affirmation is blocked by them. And all of a sudden, they are completely void. And now they don't know who they are. And so they take fig leaves and they hide. And they hide from God. And they're so insecure because they don't know who they are. And so this in this journey of identity and understanding who we are, we have to understand that you have to find it outside yourself. That's not a Christian idea. That's not debatable. It's not up to you. You will find it somewhere, which is why we are so insecure. Oh my gosh, like somebody texts us or calls us or says something wrong. We don't put an emoji on it, right? And we're like, if your boss is ever like, I need to meet with you. And you're like, oh shoot, what did I do? Has that ever happened? You're like, oh my gosh, what did I do? What I'm instantly going to like the worst case scenario, right? Because we're like that. We're constantly thinking, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Somebody makes a comment, like you get a new outfit. And then like somebody makes a comment at work and you're like questioning your whole wardrobe. The accuser comes and he knows exactly what to say. And he knows better than you know that you're searching for who you are. Unfortunately, that doesn't go away when you get saved. When you get saved, you're not like, oh, I never struggle with insecurity. I know exactly who I am. No, it's a journey. But the difference when you get saved is this wall that was created in the garden because of sin that caused you to be in a vacuum where you just hear your own thoughts and the chatterbox. That, the Bible says, the wall of separation has been shattered. And on the cross, the veil was torn. You know what that does? It gives us access to these millions of incredible thoughts that God has towards you. And they're not random thoughts. They're specific to who you are and who God's created you to be. I think it's pretty important that we listen to the right voice. Anybody with me? Oh, man. So we're talking about the universe, and I came across this one thing when I was looking at the Whirlpool Galaxy, and I was looking at pictures at the core, and before you put it up there, I was fascinated by this whole thing and how far it is away, and I was thinking about, you know, God, I know you're so good, and I know the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and so every time we look up there, we can get a glimpse of who God is and his goodness for us. And listen, there's some religions that don't preach the goodness of God. Shame on them. It's shouting from the universe. He's so good. I feel like I can shout more with this mic. This is good. I might get into this. And so I came across this picture because it shouts the goodness of God. So this picture I'm about to show you is the Hubble telescope zoomed in at the core of the Whirlpool Galaxy, the darling of our universe, 31 million light years away. And it's been there the whole time. This is the picture. Are you kidding me? Google it. Center of the Whirlpool Galaxy. It's the cross. And I instantly thought about like, wow, we're so desiring to get a message that tells us who we are. And the whole time, 31 million light years away, there is something that's been hovering over us the entire time that God put in place at the beginning. And I thought about this passage that Paul writes in Colossians that's so incredibly powerful. And it says, not Colossians, in Psalm 103, it says this: "For as high as the heavens are above the earth," pause, "as high as the heavens are above the earth." We all know that that's a long way. The universe and the heavens, it's so vast, like as high as that. And then it says, "So great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him." And then it says this: "As far as the east is from the west." You and I cannot wrap our minds around that number. So far as he removed our transgressions from us. Come on, can we just thank the Lord right now? We could just rest in that and go home. We could just go do baptisms right now. As far as the east is from the west. So listen, if you missed the message today, if you missed the message last week or last month, not my message, his message, start listening. Because you need it. It forms who you are, who you've always been. And it's a message that he's so desperate to get through to you. Second idea is this: every person is made in the image of God. This is so powerful and so important for our community here at Heart Church. The rest of that Psalm 8 that I read to you says this: "You made them, us, a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands and put everything under their feet." See, he didn't just create an amazing universe. He created you and me in his image. And I love that he crowns us with glory and honor. And we talk about honor and a culture of honor at our church. And the reason for that is because if you look in the Bible and in the Greek and you look at that word honor, it doesn't just mean, well, you know, honor your parents and, you know, honor authorities, although that's important. But the actual word honor means a recognition of value. A recognition of value. And so when we say God crowned them with beauty, glory, and honor, it means that he crowns you uniquely with value. Unfortunately, our world has created a tier system that shows us how valuable we are. And there's all kinds of ingredients that include how valuable you are as a person, as a human being. But I'm here to tell you that there's one place that you find value, true value, that can never disappear with the stock market, that doesn't go away by peer pressure, and it doesn't leave you based on your silly mistakes. Your value is based on him crowning you with honor, a recognition of value. And I wrote this: a culture of honor is an atmosphere where we elevate the status of another. Oh, let's go. Can we talk about Heart Church for a minute? Where we elevate the status of another. Can I tell you, if you didn't already know this, that you don't need to believe like us or behave like us to be valuable here. Can I just say that again? You don't have to behave like me. You don't have to think like me. You don't have to believe like me to be valuable here, to have a place here. And listen, there's some churches and some religions that like get really uncomfortable when we got people coming through the doors that don't look like them, don't act like them. Listen, this is about Jesus, not behavior. And so he transforms us into the image of Christ. But man, those doors are open. And you get to be a valuable person. And so listen, if your Christianity requires people to behave like you for them to be valuable, you miss Jesus. Because this was his whole mission. And the Pharisees were so frustrated at it because he hung out with the lowest of the low, the scum that had no, like were cast aside by all the religious people. And Jesus is like, I'm going to hang out with you. Come on. Come on, Zacchaeus, the wee little man. I'm going to hang out at your house. The tax collector, he's a cheat and a liar. Jesus is like, I know. I'm not condoning that. I'm just saying if you look past all of that and you sweep it aside, you're still valuable. I can hate the sin and love the sinner. Hello. And so at Heart Church, we create a place where we say, we as a community are making it our goal that every person that walks through this door feels instantly like their status got elevated. You mean I'm somebody? You mean I don't have to clean up my act? I don't have to pretend like I'm somebody I'm not? I don't have to dress a certain way and all of a sudden learn the Christian lingo to like be accepted and feel like I've got something inside of me that matters? No, actually, you don't have to do any of it. We're just going to simply say, this is about him. And he changed our life. And he created you in his image. And if you give him a chance, he'll change your life. That's what we're doing here. Last idea is this. I'm going to invite Adam up. You are not a mistake. Oh, I'm sorry. Nate, so, I'm going to invite the keyboardist up. Thank you. We got three of them in the audience. Let's go. You're not a mistake. Ephesians chapter 2, where he is masterpiece created in Christ Jesus for good works that we should walk in them. You know, at just one glance at the universe, it absolutely amazes us. But it's really not the most amazing miracle. It doesn't even compare to the miracle of you. You really are, the Bible says, the crown jewel of all of his creation, which is why I think it's so powerful when we look at creation, because we see something not just about how incredible and great and vast that he is, but we get a glimpse into ourselves because he says, you're it. That was an afterthought. I was just showing off. Another star, just showing off. But it's you. Do you know that you're the only thing that's eternal? Heaven and earth will pass away. But your soul, your uniquely you, is eternal. You're amazing. And you're not a mistake. I kind of did a research binge this week. And so I found something else that was really cool about your DNA. I don't know a whole lot about DNA, but I found something that was really incredible because I know how unique every person is, every person's fingerprint. And this is what I found. Your DNA is made up of 3 billion characters. And I don't know another word to use for characters because I'm not a scientist, so I'm going to stick with that one. 3 billion characters. Scientists say that if you were to read your DNA strand, one character a minute to define who you are, who God created you to be, the uniqueness and special nature of exactly you, 1 second at a time, reading who you are. You think you're so normal. You think that, well, I have you know, a little bit of things that are different about me, but I'm basically, you know, pretty average, pretty vanilla, pretty normal. One character at a time to define who you are. You know how long it would take? 96 years. One character at a time. That's how unique you are. When I went to on a missions trip before I got married, I was in London for a couple of days to kind of hang out in between our missions trip. And I got to walk the streets there, and I got to witness a guy that was drawing. And he had a small crowd around him, and he was doing a portrait. And there was a nice young lady that was sitting next to him, and it wasn't like a cartoon portrait, it was a real portrait. And I was thinking to myself, like, how cool, I'm in London, this is, you know, Europe, and, you know, artists, I bet you, are incredible. And so I'm all in, right? And he had just kind of started. And so they were gathering the crowd, and so I went in, I got like a good spot where I could really see her and him. And I was kind of like doing the comparison and excited for it to start taking shape. And I'll never forget, 15 minutes in, it looked like an absolute disaster. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy must be his first time. There's no way he's from around here, because you don't post up in town square if you don't know what you're doing. And I was kind of looking around because I was getting embarrassed for him, and everyone else was kind of like, this is not as good as I thought. You know, it's fine. I'm going to stay, see what happens. And I felt like I was telling myself, I'm going to encourage this guy afterwards because he's going to need it. This is not working. And she can't see it, so she doesn't know. And it just looks like a scribble. And you can see, you could hear the people kind of whispering like, I don't know, that's not Rosalind. It doesn't look like her. And all of a sudden, I watched him. He was doing something with the eye. Something powerful about the eye. And he was doing something with the eye. And he made one stroke. And all of a sudden, I'm not exaggerating, this drawing went from a disaster to an absolute masterpiece. I mean, it's almost like she popped off the page, and I literally took a step back physically, and I was like, oh my gosh, that was incredible. And here's what I know. If we're honest with ourselves, so many times in our life looks a little bit like a disaster. And if we're also honest with ourselves, there's been some people in our lives that have whispered and murmured, their life's kind of a mess. I don't know if they're going to make it. I don't know if they're going to ever be anybody. And as much as we want the crowd observers to like believe in us and believe that we have it and that it's going to be good, so much of our life is dictated by those around us that have said, I don't know about your life. And some of us have taken on things that have been said about us, and we've put them deep in our heart, and they've become our identity. Why? Because you don't have the ability inside you to tell you who you are. And so you've grabbed some rocks and some stones that people have thrown at you in the audience, because your life hasn't always been put together. And maybe you're here today and it's kind of a mess. I'm here to tell you that the creator of the universe, he just needs a pencil and a one stroke, and all of a sudden he can take a disaster and make it amazing. He can take something that's so broken and make it his masterpiece. In fact, it's what he does. It's what he does. And so you need to know today, you're incredible. And the God of the universe that created you, he's calling you. He's saying, put aside the message of the world. Put your trust in me. I created you, and I have the only message that will set you free. Last little piece of science that I want to give you, and it's worth giving. Some of you have seen this before because I showed it a long time ago, but it really kind of brings it all together. There's a cell adhesion molecule in our body called laminin. And I'm no scientist, but what scientists say is that it's the rebar of your body. It's the thing that holds your skin on. It holds your organs in place. It holds your muscles in place. Without this, you would not be put together and held together. It's called laminin. Look it up. It's incredible. And billions and billions of laminin in your body. It is the glue of who you are and who I am. And scientists put together a model as best as they could of what this cell adhesion molecule would look like if they were to draw it on a piece of paper. And this is what they came up with. Laminin. And I instantly thought about the words of Paul, and we're going to close with this. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, that's the actual laminin in your body right now floating around. He says this, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." And then he says this, if that's not good enough, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Listen, without him, your body would fall apart. Even now, the cross of Jesus is holding you together. If that's not a message that he cares about you, he's involved in every aspect of your life, and he is calling you home, and he's saying, "Listen, forget the message of the world. I got a better one." And before you ever had a thought of what you were going to do with God, can I tell you, he had an idea of what he was going to do with you. He was going to send his son to give it all. And even now, grace holds you together. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? If you're in this place and you recognize this morning that your life without Jesus, without his sacrifice, and without his constant message to you, life is a little bit of a mess. There's something happening in your heart and mind right now that's saying, "I need that. I need that. I'm ready to break down the barriers that have been in the way because I've been listening to the wrong voice and it's affected who I am. It's affected how I see myself. And I want to believe there's more." If that's you today with no one looking around, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus on Baptism Sunday. Say, "Jesus, I want you to come change my life." If that's you today with no one looking around, I just invite you to pray this prayer. Say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I ask you that you'd come into my life. I make you Lord and Savior. Change me. Make me new. That I might live for you from this day forward. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name." And everyone said, "Amen." Come on, can we just thank the Lord this morning?